This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, the first day of spring is next Tuesday, and that means it will soon be time for lawn care season. Today, Extension Educator Andrew Holsinger has some tips for you to use when seeding and fertilizing your yard.
Oh, I help to put on programs that are offered to the general public and the whole realm of horticulture, so early season things and late season, even through the winter, we keep pretty busy in Extension.
Cover just a little bit of everything.
Yeah, just about vegetables and trees and shrubs and lawn care. And, you know, right now the Master Gardener program's been going on, so it's a pretty busy season. And here leading into spring, it gets even busier.
Yeah, sure. I can imagine, especially with the subject that you talk about. Well, you mentioned the thing that I want to talk with you about today, and that's lawn care. Kind of just want to talk about just general homeowners that have a yard and they want it to look nice, some tips for them on how to do that. So the first thing that comes to mind when I think about caring for your lawn is you want to have grass growing. So at some point in time, you probably need to seed that to start out your lawn or get the grass that you want. So tips on how to select the right type of seed for where you live and what type maybe people around this area should be using.
Well, a good idea is to use a selected cultivar that's good for our climate and growing conditions. And also, there are particular kinds of grasses to get established. So a good selection to possibly do for this area would be the tall turf fescues. And they're pretty resilient to the, you know, our dry drought kind of stresses in our climate. And you can plant Kentucky bluegrass, but it has a little bit more management to the Kentucky bluegrass. And so there's other kinds that, you know, you have cool season grasses and warm season grasses. And typically when we do plant grasses, typically they're planted in the fall, so they have a better time of establishment. But here in the spring, it is an option to plant grass, or possibly you need some overseeding of some places that you might have had trouble. And so as soon as you can get into the lawn to do that overseeding, it would probably be beneficial because those open surfaces can harbor weeds.
So as far as seeding, then, it sounds like you recommend doing it in the fall, but if you need to do it in the spring, it will work. Just recommend fall, preferably.
Yeah, the preferred option is the fall, but spring is also an option, and sometimes it just is a needed thing to, you know, seed in the spring.
Sure, it just works out that way. Well, along with seeding, then I think of fertilizing. You're going to want to give this grass seeds some food to eat, so types of fertilizer, time of year, things you recommend doing for that?
Well, again, fertilizing is best done in the fall. It can be broken up into a couple of applications over the season, but typically the majority of your fertilizing should be done in the fall. But you can fertilize in the spring, but you don't want to fertilize immediately at the start of spring. You want to wait till possibly May. So some of the things to be concerned about is when you apply those fertilizers that have pre-emergent weed control, you have to realize that that fertilizer is in that pre-emergent weed control. So that may be another thing to wait till fall to apply those combination weed and feed kind of products.
You know, right now, when you go to the stores, it's springtime, so they've got a lot of spring products out. One of those is fertilizer, so you're thinking, and of course, weed control products.
Right.
So you're tempted to buy that now in March and apply it, but you're saying wait until later. What's the reason behind that?
Well, it just depends on the product that you're applying, but there's a particular window of opportunity to apply some of those pre-emergent herbicides depending on the soil temperature. And so if you apply, in order to catch that window, if you apply early enough for that, then you're also fertilizing. So be cautious whenever you're selecting your products, so you know what the label states and what all is in the product that you're applying.
Horticulture educator for U of I Extension, Andrew Holsinger. And if you'd like to hear more tips from Andrew about caring for your lawn, tune into our forum program this weekend. For those broadcast times, you can visit our website, WSMIradio.com. And we'll be back right after these messages. President Donald Trump is proposing to cut the EPA budget by 31% by eliminating a fifth of its workforce and eliminating more than 50 programs. The proposal would drop the EPA budget from $8.1 billion to $5.7 billion. If enacted, the proposal would cease funding for the Clean Power Plan, a signature Obama administration effort to combat climate change. It would cut 3,200 positions, or more than 20% of the agency's current workforce of about 15,000, according to the Washington Post. Funding for the massive Chesapeake Bay cleanup project, which receives $73 million each year, would be cut to zero. Funding for drinking water infrastructure would remain intact, but the agency's scientific research would suffer massive cuts. The Washington Post says the proposal would undoubtedly hobble the EPA, leaving the work of safeguarding the nation's water and air primarily up to local officials. Well, on a lighter note, it is St. Patrick's Day, and if you're going to be partaking in eating some corned beef and cabbage today, so are millions of other people. Corned beef, which accounts for less than 1% of overall beef sales in the U.S. throughout the year, sees an increase of 9% each March from St. Patrick's Day celebrators. However, this St. Patrick's Day, falling on Friday, has left some Catholics without a chance to enjoy a traditional St. Patrick's Day feast of corned beef and cabbage. But now, Reuters reports that at least 80 of the nearly 200 U.S. Catholic dioceses have issued some form of exemption, allowing Catholics to enjoy corned beef for the day. For example, one archdiocese in Nebraska says Catholics could eat beef on March 17th if they abstain from it on March 18th, and another in Texas says Catholics could eat corned beef provided they substituted a comparable penance. However, they say it's best to check with your specific church. The largest U.S. corned beef producer, Colorado Premium, accounts for 30 to 40% of about 70 million pounds of corned beef consumed on St. Patrick's Day. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association says St. Patrick's Day and the 4th of July are the top two holidays for U.S. beef consumption at home. And that does it for today's WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.